me ask you something. What do you think of when you think of Christmas? I'm just curious. You can just shout it out. It doesn't... I know I'm up here and I have a microphone and you don't, but you can say, what do you think of when you think of Christmas? Birth of Christ. Okay, good. All right, well, we don't have to do any more because that was the answer that I was looking for. You know, it's interesting because 6 years ago, my view or my understanding of Christmas changed pretty drastically. It was when my son Oliver, my eldest, was born, and we went into the delivery room. I've been in since two more times, and just the understanding of the incarnation of Jesus just changed for me. Being in this delivery room and seeing all of it happened. It was wild and it was intense. It's a really intense moment. Actually, when my daughter Claire was born, because there's this thing that they do. They say, the doctor says, you know, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? And when Oliver was born, I was like, no, I don't. That's terrifying. With Claire, I was like, yes, I do. And I stood up. And then I started to feel very faint, and I almost fainted. This time they put some sort of like ammonia in my face with Rory, our newest child, and it woke me up pretty fast. So there you go, birth of Jesus. You know, when my son Rory was born, he was born 2 months ago, he was born into a bit of a dark valley for my family and I. Not just my family, but by extension, my community has gone through some real difficult times lately. We're all trying to process what has happened, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I'll just say the last year and a half have been some of the hardest times we've been through. Betrayal of trust, abuse of power, loss, and it all culminated in the loss of my job a month before my son Rory was born. And the stress that put on my wife actually caused her to go into preterm labor. Rory was born 6 weeks early and was in the NICU for 3 weeks. And during that time, Heather, my wife, and I actually got sick and weren't able to see him. That was really, really brutal. So today we're going to talk about joy. I've been working on my transitions. When Michael said Advent, I was like, okay, so I'm thinking through the four things and with the hope and the peace and the joy and love. And I thought about it. I'm like, okay, I'm the third Sunday, so okay, joy. So I'll talk about joy, and I'm like, dang it, really? In this season of my life, I'm going to be talking about joy. But you know what, friends? I have found and I have been taught by Almighty God how to have joy in circumstances. And today, what I want to look at is I want to look at a song, actually. Because here's the deal. I think for us as followers of Jesus, Christmas isn't always a time of joy. It just isn't. That's just not necessarily our immediate response. Some of you are nodding your head, and I'm like, thank you for being here. Because you've taken a step towards joy by saying, I am not going to hide. I'm going to be in community. I'm going to be around others. And like I said, for some of us, this season is just hard to hear the rejoice in the Lord always and count it all as joy passages, especially when life beats you down. I think of a family that I hold dear to my heart that lost a pillar of their family to cancer just last year. So this would be the second year without a loving mother and a faithful wife. It's difficult, dare I say painful, to raise our hands in worship when our personal lives are in ruin. And some of us feel shame when we are in the midst of tragedy because we feel unable to experience the joy of the Lord. Is there something wrong with me? We might ask. Everyone else seems to be fine. What's wrong with me? Tonight, if you are struggling to find joy in this season, stop trying to white knuckle it. Let's open the scriptures together and let's take a fresh look at a familiar song. If you have your Bibles with you, and I know you do because you have those little things in front, why don't you turn with me to the book of the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 1, in verse 46. This is going to be where we're going to spend most of our time tonight. Give you a few seconds to get there, and then we'll dive right in. So first, I just want to read this because it is a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece of songwriting from the mother of our Lord, of Christ Jesus. And I think there is a lot that we can learn from this song if we just internalize it. Because when we'll read it, and then we'll break it down, and then we'll check out the context, and then we'll see what it has for us. So I'll just read it for us right now. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." I'm always humbled when I read this because I immediately think about the birth of Jesus, the messiness of the incarnation, the dangerous process it is to give birth. Like, and we're talking like it's dangerous now, but we're talking 2,000 years ago. The fear and anxiety that must have come knowing that Mary was carrying the Son of God. After having kids, I read this differently because I think of this teenage girl and what she was going through, and yet her response, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And so one scholar kind of pointed out to me, I see this in four different movements of this psalm-like song. First, there is in 46 and 48, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Now, this is the praise for what God has done for Mary. What is God doing for Mary here is he is inviting her to partake in the storyline of Almighty God, to say that through Mary, all will be blessed. And then in 49 and 50, "The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." Notice that Mary highlights the characteristics of God here, his holiness, his mercifulness, and his power, his mighty arm. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. You know, when I had to stop during this passage because it so speaks to the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Mary is seeing here is what God has always done, but what he is going to do in his kingdom. Essentially, he's going to turn it upside down. He's going to turn it on its head. And if you look back, remember, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He sees Mary, this teenage girl, and lifts her and elevates her to a state where she carries Almighty God in her womb. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Now, for a second, I want us to consider the author of this song. Mary, as you know, was not married yet. She was called on by an angel of the Lord to carry Almighty God, the Messiah, Jesus. And in this time, to become pregnant would bring great shame to her. So much so that in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told Joseph, her husband, planned to divorce her to spare her public shame. Now, I want to ask you something. Say you had a friend, acquaintance, who was engaged, and she became pregnant. What would your immediate thoughts be about said girl, lady? I just want you to consider what people would have thought about Mary during this time. It's okay. It was the Holy Spirit. How would you react to that? And yet, in this, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Do you see the tension here? You see the tension in Mary's circumstances. We've got this first century teenage girl who is in the midst of a perceived scandal. And I think she has a lot to teach us about joy. The joy in this song is raw, it's authentic, and it's powerful. And I believe if we take a close look at this song, we'll be able to see how Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, was able to rejoice in this time. And maybe we too can rejoice in this time. One thing that I noticed that's true about Mary and it's true about us today is, one, in verse 48, again, I've read this a couple times now, but for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Do we realize that we are seen by God? Because one thing that I want to say, if you are here and you're struggling to find joy in this time, if you're suffering, if life has thrown everything it can at you, do you know that God sees that? Are you aware that God sees that? When life stings, are you aware that you are seen by Almighty God? Mary was aware of that. She also knows the character of God. Often in Scripture, when it says, holy is his name, or just the name, the almighty name, Yahweh, encapsulates more than just a name. It is your character. And when she talks about him being merciful, it reminds me of Exodus 34, where the compassionate, the merciful, the slow to anger character of God, I think that is exactly where Mary's mind is going here. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Friends, Mary was overwhelmed by the story that she took part in, which led her to joy. My question for you tonight, are you? Do you realize that Messiah Jesus has come? That our King has turned the world upside down? Mary made a choice not to ignore her circumstances, but to trust fully in God's promise. Friends, what I've come to realize in this time of difficulty, this time of struggle, is that joy really does come from a place of faith. Not from our own circumstances. To practice, to say, in these times, I know what's ultimately true. And that is, Jesus has come. He has begun to turn this world upside down. And the world would seek to distract you. The enemy would seek to distract you from this truth. Yet, friends, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is real. And that this time of year is a time where we can remember that. But it's not easy. It's not easy. When I look at this last bit in verse 54, it says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. What I want to remind all of us tonight is that we have been invited into a story. If you have placed your faith in King Jesus, then you are a part of this promise that has been fulfilled. When Jesus came and took on himself the sins of his people, that gift has been extended to all nations. When Mary mentions Abraham, she's probably alluding to Genesis 12, where God promises Abraham that his people or his descendants will be a blessing to all nations. And that's where we find where Jesus comes in, who is the one promised, and asks us to become and to make disciples of all nations. I want to leave you tonight with this profound truth. The promise made to Abraham has been fulfilled in King Jesus. Almighty God has been merciful and he has been faithful. He has turned this world upside down. If you're suffering during this season, choose joy. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for Valley Church. And Lord, I know that you see each and every one of them. Each member of this church, Lord God, they all have a story. And you see them. You see us, Jesus, in the midst of our suffering, in our hurts. Lord, may we look to your story tonight. As we worship you with joy, Lord God, I just pray that we can respond like Mary did to your promise, to your love, and to who you are. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.